So let's actually start by reading Matthew 16, and it's we're going to start at verse 24. So we're just going to read two verses. So Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We bless you, O God, and praise you for what you have given to us. O Lord, we give thanks. We bless you and praise you, O Father, and we ask, open up your word to us. Lord, feed us. Give us the true gospel. Lord, deliver us from the teachings of men. Deliver us, O Lord, from things that hurt us. Give to us, we pray, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give to us, O Lord, we pray, the joy and the liberty that is in him, and Lord, the power of salvation in Christ. Lord, we just give thanks. We bless you, we praise you, and we worship you. And we ask now your blessing to be upon us as we meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. So I want us to look at this passage. We've talked about this before, but I want us to really see something else about it, Lord willing. Here we have this message by the Lord Jesus Christ in which he says, if you want to be saved, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And he says here, he opens this up in the next verse by saying, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So saving your life is to not deny yourself and take up your cross. To lose your life is to deny yourself and take up your cross. Now, you know, it is so important that we rightly understand this. So many people understand this passage of Scripture to mean that when you deny yourself or you take up your own cross, that it relates to something in your life, something that you must do. And they'll equate all sorts of different things. And they'll ask you, well, you know, are you denying yourself? What's your cross? And they associate it to something in their own life. But to do so that way is to do so according to the flesh. For according to the flesh, there's all sorts of things that we could then say, well, this is what makes me a Christian. Remember, according to the flesh is like, well, it's like saying, I'm going to earn my own salvation according to the flesh. While according to the Spirit, you're saying, only in Christ Jesus am I saved. I'm connected to Christ. Because, you know, do you understand that Jesus lived according to the flesh? Jesus walked in the flesh? Jesus fulfilled the law of God in the flesh? According to the flesh, Jesus has become our salvation. He has done it in the flesh. And he's the only one who has done it in the flesh. But there are other people who will say, well, you know, we need to do the same thing. We need to save ourselves. We need to do something as well according to the flesh. And it will result then in bondage, legalism. You will not have any salvation. For you and I, the only hope we have is salvation by which it is according to the Spirit. Meaning, he who is according to the flesh, we connect to by the Spirit. He alone has done it. He's walked the walk. He has fulfilled it. And you and I are saved because we are in Christ. So a lot of people will come to this passage of Scripture and they talk about denying yourself, they talk about taking up your cross, and they talk about losing your life, but really what they're talking about is something that is according to the flesh, something you do. Now, take as an example, there are countless numbers of people who go into the missionary work, go and live their life as a missionary because they heard some preacher or teacher say to them this understanding where you must lose your life. And so they think, well, I'm not really going to be a true Christian unless I dedicate my life to the missionary field. That's not what this is saying at all. And the problem then is there are all these missionaries who go out to the missionary field who are trying to find their own salvation. How are they going to benefit the people? How are they going to give these people the true gospel if they're actually going to the missionary field trying to lose their life? They're never going to be of any value or help to them. And they wind up not even really loving the people. It's a struggle and they don't connect. Sure, it's great to go to the missionary field. But don't go to the missionary field unless you really understand the gospel. And you have first denied yourself and taken up your cross. You've lost your life as Jesus meant. Then, yes, then go to the missionary field. And then tell the people how they also can, according to the Spirit, deny themselves and take up their cross and lose their life. Now, let's turn over to Romans. Let's look at Romans here, because we want to open up an understanding of what it means to deny yourself and take up your cross. And we're going to begin with deny yourself. You know, really, if you rightly understand deny yourself, it will necessarily lead into a right understanding of what it means to take up your cross. And both of these things, denying yourself and taking up your cross, will really be understood then rightly as losing your life. Again, to save your life, you don't deny yourself and you don't take up your cross. To lose your life, you deny yourself and take up your cross. So let's look at Paul's epistle to the Romans. If you even begin here in chapter 1, where he gives his great thesis statement in verse 16, we should read that if we're going to look a bit at Romans here. So Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Meaning that it's not according to the flesh you're saved, it's according to the Spirit. It's by faith. The righteous man lives by faith. And Paul says here that he's not ashamed of this gospel that he preaches, that he has heard himself, and by which he himself is saved. You know, that word ashamed, really, in Romans, it comes out so strongly, this whole idea of being shamed or boasting. And there's this contrast that takes place in Romans between being shamed or having shame or being ashamed, and then there's also exalting or boasting. And you see it played out in Romans. And it starts here in chapter 1 with the people who are of the world. So from verses 18 to the end of the chapter, Paul begins to talk about a certain type of people who are not ashamed of their sin. In fact, they give hearty approval to those who practice the same things. And what do they do here in verse 18? "For the wrath of God itself is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who" what? "Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So in Romans, you have this whole thing played out. Paul himself is not ashamed of the gospel. In fact, he boasts in the gospel. He says later on at the end of Romans, he says, "I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God." And you'll see it repeated on and on again in Romans. But what does this whole thing have to do with denying ourselves and what Jesus taught? Jesus says, you must deny yourself. How is that played out here? And what am I trying to bring your attention to? People here in the world, as it says in verse 18, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, how does that relate to them denying or what they're doing? They are holding to the lie. There is a pervasive lie in the world. The world is lost. The world is in darkness. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For them to be saved, they must deny themselves. And what it means to deny themselves is not that they should live some sort of austere life in some sort of monastery and clean up their act. They need to deny something much more profound. They need to deny this lie that they and their fathers have all embraced. For look at this lie that they believe in. Verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing to be wise. They became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. You see, what does it say? You could look at verse 25 as well. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The barbarians, the pagans, the Gentile nations, the world itself is lost and it's in darkness. But you know, everyone wants to feel good about themselves. Every person wants to think that they're in the right. And so what does Satan have people do? He has them believe a lie. They exchange the truth of God for the lie. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. So people who are fully immersed in the world, they need to hear what Jesus says. If you would come after me, if you would be saved, you must deny yourself. You must turn away from this lie. And the judgment is, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against them. Because why? Because they love this lie. They love this darkness. See, the lie says that what you're doing is fine. The lie says that this other way is good. And it finishes here in the last verse of Romans 1, that they know, he says here, and although they know the ordinance of God, because God has written his law on their hearts, they know that those who practice such things are worthy of death. Again, they're suppressing that. They not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So they boast in their sin. They love the lie. So yes, even Jesus' teaching about denying yourself relates to the barbarian, relates to the Gentile, relates to the pagan, the person who is fully immersed in the ways of the world. But look at this next chapter here in Romans. For Paul then deals with a whole other category of person, and those who also hold to a lie, but it's a lie of hypocrisy. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. So now we've got people who are just as lost as the people in the first chapter. But guess what? They're very good at judging other people. And that's what a lot of people do. They deal with sin in such a way that I don't have to address sin in my own life, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to address the sin in other people's lives. So they become very good at passing judgment upon other people, because you know what? Again, God has written his law on all of our hearts. Everyone knows in their heart that it's wrong to murder. We're all guilty of murder ourselves, right? As Jesus opens up to us in the Sermon on the Mount. But when we see that someone else has murdered someone, oh, we can judge them. And we all know God's law is right, and it's all in our hearts, and we can all affirm it. But as they judge people, they're even blind to the fact that they themselves are murderers, that we're all murderers, we're all sinners. And so here's this other group of people, and they then also hold to a lie in which they need to deny themselves. He opens us up fully and completely in the people who are Jewish. He says in verse 17, because the Jews who are according to the flesh, they fall according to this category. Verse 17, he says, but if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God. See, there's that theme that comes out in Romans. They boast in God. They know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that they themselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. But Paul then says, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? And he says again, you who boast in the law through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? And he says that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So you see, there are other people who are, you could say, dressed up sinners. They're still sinners, just like the people in the first chapter. But they have been given God's law. They have it. They know it. They know it's God's law. But they don't get it. They don't see that the law of God shows that they indeed are sinners themselves. What do they need to do? They must deny themselves. They must turn away from the lie of hypocrisy that says that they, by the flesh, according to the flesh, are keepers of the law. And so Paul then opens up here in the last part of chapter 2, and he says, indeed, in verse 25, circumcision is of value. You know, it's this whole idea of keeping the law, circumcision. It's of value if you practice the law, but if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And he finishes it up in that chapter to say that who is the true Jew? The true Jew is the one who is not outward in the flesh, according to the flesh, but he's the one who by the Spirit is a true Jew. And he receives his praise not from men, but from God. Now he goes on in chapter 3. And then he says, well, what advantage has the Jew? What's the benefit of a Jew? And he says it's very great because, you know, they're given the oracles of God. But just because they're given the oracles of God doesn't mean they're right with God. Look what he says here in verse 3. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. You see, again, even among those who appear very, very religious, there is a pervasive, profound lie. Just as the barbarians are caught up in a lie in which they affirm themselves as in the right, the noble savage, right? They see themselves in a positive way, but they're living a lie, and they need to deny that and turn away from that. So also those who are the fancy sinner, the religious man, the man who dresses himself up in the law of God, it's all a lie. If you, according to the flesh, boast in that. So we come here in chapter 3, to the great hall of shame. Look at verses 9 to 18, those capital letters quoting from the Old Testament. The great hall of shame, all of us are sinners. It starts off simply by saying, verse 10, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. According to the flesh, you and I are all sinners. And that's what it says there in verse 19, that this is what the law of God says. For we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. And then notice this, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may be accountable to God. So you know when Jesus says you must deny yourself, that means what? You close your mouth. That you yourself not are one. You do not boast according to the flesh. No, you have humbled yourself. You deny yourself. You must deny yourself. See, the law of God comes, and the result of the law of God coming is that every mouth should be closed. No one, according to the flesh, should exalt himself and say, no, that he is righteous, according to the flesh. So we are to do that. We're to embrace the law. We're to affirm the law. And how do you do that? You deny yourself. Whether you're in a barbarous situation, there's a lost Gentile in a dark, dark world, worshiping idols and demons and that sort of thing. You do need to say, the tradition of my fathers is a lie, and I deny it. I turn away from it. And I do not confirm myself to that. Or if you're a religious person and you adhere to some sort of strict thing and you believe that you're all blessed under the ancestors of your fathers, no, you deny that and say that that is all nothing. I'm a sinner. Because as the conclusion of the scriptures say here in verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And this wonderful expression here in Romans, I can't help but read it here in verse 21. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. Even, verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I skipped a few parts there, but wanted to give that to you in the main. This is the gospel. This is what we find in Jesus Christ. But for you and I to partake of Christ, for us to come after him, this is what it means to lose your life. This is what it means to deny yourself. This is what you must turn away from. Now, the end result then is what? There is no boasting then. Verse 27 of chapter 3. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. You see, by rightly doing this, this denial of self, you are then not able to boast according to the flesh. Well, there is boasting in Christ, just as Paul says. We exalt in the grace of God in chapter 5 of Romans. We exalt in that. But there is no boasting according to the flesh. That's what it means to deny yourself. So those who teach and will say, oh, well, you need to deny yourself, just your personal sins. Well, yeah, we shouldn't sin. But just by turning away from our personal sins, that doesn't save you. You need a much more profound denial, a denial that covers everything, the whole big picture of how you and I are separate from God. Look at Abraham in chapter 4. Look at that first verse. Remember, you have to read it differently. It's in the notes. In chapter 4 of Romans, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, has found according to the flesh? It's what he's found according to the flesh. See, and if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So again, it's salvation, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's by faith in Christ. Look to Abraham, the father of the faith. What did he find according to the flesh? He couldn't boast in some sort of work. He believed in God, and then he obtained the righteousness of God. Now, no one likes the idea of being a bum. You know, a bum. Someone who doesn't work. He just loafs, doesn't do his work, and yet he gets money. People don't like it. And even the bum feels guilty in his heart if he's not working. But look at this. Look at verse 5. But to the one who does not work, to the one who does not work, a bum according to the flesh, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. And also, you don't like to be called a bum. You don't like maybe being referred to as the ungodly. This is that element where you need to deny yourself. You need to see that according to the flesh, you and I, we're just worthless bums. We're the ungodly. We don't merit our salvation. We don't earn any salvation. And that's a big pill to swallow for a lot of people. What does it say? That the gospel is a stumbling block to the Jews, to the Gentiles' foolishness. It's kind of a big pill to swallow that you're a bum according to the works of the law. Your works result in what? The sentence that you are ungodly. That's hard to swallow. You must deny yourself this. So, here we find in Romans, this idea of denying yourself, and that really, it's all there in the depth of it. And you can bring out a lot of other verses. But let's turn over to two Gospels real quick here. And then we'll come back to Romans as we look at what it means to take up your cross. And again, this is what it really means. Take them together, deny yourself, take up your cross. It means what? To lose your life. Have you really, biblically, lost your life for Christ? And you must find yourself in a place where you can say, yes, I see it. I have. Because I have good news for you, Christian. If you're a true Christian, you have denied yourself. You have taken up your cross. You have lost your life. And this will then be a cause of joy for you to see that. Look over the Gospel of Luke. Turn over to Luke chapter 14. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." This is Jesus expressing the same thing. You see, it's that denial of self, that rejection of the tradition of our fathers, whether it be from a, you know, Gentile barbarian tradition, or whether it be some sort of legalistic religious frame of mind, that we turn away from it. You see, when he says that you must hate your father and your mother, Christianity is not teaching that you literally hate them. It's saying that you reject their idea, which is the lie. The lie. Whether it's paganism, this idea that what we're doing is really good and this makes us right, or whether it's this legalistic tradition and idea that really is hypocrisy. We don't keep the law. We haven't done anything according to the flesh. So you yourself must hate that. You must turn away from that. You must say, no, it's in opposition to God. But it's not that you're supposed to like hate and not love them. You love them and you want them to even be saved. And then notice that it's even you must hate your own self for what you are according to the flesh. And here as well, you see it tied to taking up your cross, which we'll open up here in a little bit. Turn over then to the Gospel of John chapter 12. See, how does this whole thing relate? How does denying yourself and taking up your cross even connect? Let's start to move towards now the idea of understanding taking up our cross. And if you look at John 12, Jesus has in the section there, right about the 20s, 20 to 26 we'll be looking at. But word starts to get out. Verse 20. Now there are some Greeks among them who were going up to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they began asking him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Jesus is going about his ministry, and now he's getting more and more known, even outside of the borders of Israel, and the Gentiles are beginning to hunger and want to know about Jesus. And Jesus knows that this is a sign that things are coming to an end. His ministry is almost completed. And he says here in verse 23 that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, meaning he's soon to come to his cross. And he says in verse 24, referring to his work upon the cross, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." See, this whole talk about you and I denying ourselves and taking up our cross, how does it relate to Jesus? How does it relate? Well, Jesus himself went to the cross. He led the way. And by him going to the cross, which is this illustration he opens up here about a grain of wheat, it falls into the earth, it dies. Jesus gave his life for you and I so that you and I then can have life, because by Jesus going to the cross, he opened up the way for you and I to then be able to deny ourselves and to then be taking up our cross. And then notice what he says here in verse 25. "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal." Jesus alone is the way for you and I to be able to have this losing of our life, this hating of this life according to the flesh, and seeing that our salvation can only be then according to the Spirit. So if we come back, let's see from here, if we go back to Matthew 16, and again, let's just read that, just keep that fresh in our mind. In Matthew 16, You know, Jesus is saying, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, I just wanted to read that one more time, but again, keep your place there in Matthew, because we're coming back to that. But turn over to Galatians. Turn over to Galatians. Again, we're now sort of we've laid down that deny yourself is not some sort of asceticism, not sort of like, well, I'm going to lock myself up in a monastery. No, it's this profound turning away from the lie. And it's saying, I'm not going to believe in this lie that I'm going to deny myself. There's no righteousness in myself, no righteousness in the association of my tradition of the fathers. And now we're saying, how does denying yourself tie with taking up your cross? Paul, in Galatians chapter 6, in Galatians 6, he says, in verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He says, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. You see, he boasts in the cross. He doesn't boast in something according to the flesh. Only the cross of Christ. This, you see how it's tied? He denies himself. He doesn't look to Paul. Paul doesn't look to himself according to the flesh. He doesn't boast anything like that. He looks to the cross of Christ. And he says, only through the cross of Christ has there been this separation between myself and the world. And that this is this thing that is far better. It is not the circumcision according to the flesh, but that which is according to the Spirit, the new creation. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 as well, he says in verse 19, he says, for the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. We would say, well, how? How through the law did you die to the law, Paul? When Christ was upon the cross, he was under the law. He was fulfilling the law for you. And if you then are crucified with Christ, you then are entering into the execution of the law. And by being crucified with Christ, you then die to the law. For as Christ died, he died under the law and he died to the law. He says in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Did you hear this? Remember what we're saying? Deny yourself, take up your cross is what? To lose your life. See what Christ, see what Paul does? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Paul is losing his life. He not only lost his life as he denies himself, right? He turns away from all those things that he could boast in. But by being crucified with Christ, Paul is lost his life. There's no other way for you to lose your life but by being crucified with Christ. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So let's turn back to Romans. But here Paul, as we were reading there in Galatians, Paul is saying that by being crucified with Christ, he has lost his life. And that's what we're looking at. Deny yourself, take up your cross, means to what? To lose your life. If you reject this denial of self, if you reject this being crucified with Christ, you are seeking to save your life. And what's going to happen? You're going to lose your life. But if you do deny yourself, if you do take up your cross, if you identify with Christ, you will then lose your life. But what will that mean? You're going to then find life. You see, the world says, oh, save your life. Don't leave this wonderful lie that we've circled ourselves with. Whether it's the your fathers, you know, the association of the tradition of the fathers, or if it's some sort of religious thing, the lie, and you hold to that, you don't deny it. They'll say, save your life, hold to that. You will lose your life. But if you deny yourself and turn to Christ and are crucified with him, you will obtain life. Look at here at Romans chapter 6. This is where we're going to finish. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is addressing the issue, well, understanding the grace of God. And he says, what then? Shall we sin? Verse 1, are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? He says, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? A lot of people think about Christians and they think, well, okay, I understand that a Christian has come to life, but they don't realize and take into account that a Christian has died. See, a Christian has had an important death. He's died to sin. And Paul opens this up here in Romans 6. And he says in verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. You see, by being crucified with Christ, you then can have life. This is what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 16. If you lose your life, right? If you deny yourself and take up your cross, if you lose your life, you will find it. See, it says here, verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. See, our old self. You see, if you seek to save your life, your old self, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. If you're, I'm going to turn away, I'm not going to deny myself, I'm going to treasure the lie, I'm not going to take up my cross with Christ, I'm going to save my life, my old self, you're going to hell. But instead, if you deny yourself, turn away from the lie, and you take up your cross so that your old self is crucified with Christ, so that the body of sin may be done away with, you will live. See? He says here in verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You will live with him if you die with Christ. Coming back to Matthew 16. How is it that one can lose their life and obtain life? Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. How can you lose your life? Some people will tell you, oh, turn away from all earthly pursuits, go to the missionary field. No, you're just a lost person trying to seek other lost people. You're not going to be of any help to them. You need now to lose your life. And how can you lose your life? How can you do it? Only the cross of Christ. Only the cross of Christ is the means by which you can kill your old self, and then you will be risen to newness of life in him. Deny yourself. You must turn away from the lie. The lie that covers over the guilt and shame of your sin, and say before God, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. Deny yourself. Say yes, like Paul says in Philippians 3, that I have no righteousness but from Christ. That Christ alone, I obtain the righteousness from God which comes from him on the basis of faith alone. How are you going to lose your life? You're not going to lose your life in some monastery or in some missionary field. No, you will lose your life as you are then united with Christ upon his cross, so that then you can be risen to newness of life in him. That's how it is. For as Paul says in Romans 6, if we have died with him, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's the only way that our sinful nature can be made dead. Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. and that's in the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, we bless you and praise you for the power of his salvation. Indeed, help us, O Lord, to glory in Christ, to glory in the cross, to turn away from things that are a lie, and to believe in Jesus Christ. O Father, save our souls. Show us how to deny ourselves in that most ultimate and absolute profound way, so that we cleave alone to Christ on his cross, that we die with him, that we are united with him, and we are put to death. The old nature is put to death, and we can rise to newness of life in Christ. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, speak this powerful truth to our hearts, that we might be saved. Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we adore you, we ask now your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.